Man, these been some beautiful songs, a Sunday school lesson. The song went right along with it, and I just sat there and I'm boiling over this morning.
Amen,
is anybody boiling over this morning?
Amen.
The old song says I'm drinking from a saucer because my cup's overflowed. I feel such a love this morning here, and it just been good. I know it would this morning. After the night I spent, I know we're going to have a good time this morning. You know, I could go home right now, and I could look back and say, it's been good to be in God's house. Can anybody do that?
Yeah.
It's been good to be in God's house this morning. We appreciate you being here this morning, and so we'll invite you back out tonight. But if you have your Bibles, look with me this morning in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 1 and probably read through verse 7. These, some of these words I know I can't pronounce right. I have trouble with these names, some of them in the Bible. But I'll get close to the best I can, or just skip them one to the two. When you find it, stand with me this morning. As we realize this is God's Word, we're in God's house, in His presence this morning. How many believe Jesus is here this morning? And it reads in Philippians chapter 4 like this. It says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast. I beseech whatever and beseech whoever that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Your name there this morning. Verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And Paul said, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand.
Yeah.
Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God.
Yeah.
In verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Harrison, would you ask the blessing on God's Word?
Thank you, God, for your Spirit that has already been
here. Yeah. Thank you.
This Word has been great. Bring it on now. Choose the blessing of Pastor as he stands before us, Lord. Utilize this Word that has each one open our hearts.
Yes, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Them songs has got me stirred up.
Yeah.
Amen. They got me stirred up. And this morning, but I want to go back and sort of lay out a foundation here for really what I feel that the Lord wants to deliver to you this morning. And Paul was writing here to the Philippian church, and he said, my brethren and dearly beloved, longed for, he said, my joy and crown, so stand fast, meaning firm, in the Lord, my dearly beloved. So we can sense here that the church at Philippi was really on Paul's mind and on Paul's heart.
Yeah.
And that's why he said, and you know, I've heard that there are a lot of preachers out here throughout the world today. But you know, Brother Lewis told me years ago, he said, me and him was talking, and he said, brother, there's a lot of good preachers. There's a lot of good evangelists. But he said, you know, a pastor is someone who has a compassionate heart and a love and a concern for God's people. So I believe I could put myself in that category this morning because I have a love for the church. That church simply meaning you this morning. And if you know, if a pastor and a church does not have a special relationship, then it's not going to work out very good.
Amen.
We've got to get on the same boat, stay on the same boat.
Amen, brother. Come on.
Because when one on either side starts abandoning the boat, the next thing you know, the boat's going to be empty and we're going to sink.
Amen.
So Paul said here, you can just feel the love that Paul said. He said, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown is you, so stand firm in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And then he went on down in verse 4, and he encouraged them. He said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. You know, the Bible tells us that there is joy in the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. There's joy in the Lord. And when we stop and think about the Lord, and we think about who you are, and if we know Jesus Christ, and we know Him and a free pardon of sin, if we have been to the cross, if we've been to Calvary, and if we have accepted Jesus Christ, if we have believed Him and accepted Him, then you know we have got a lot to rejoice about. Hey, man, this morning, we are to be the happiest and most rejoicing people there is in the world. Hey, man, we ought to be, but are we sometimes? But you know, these battles are going to come. But I've said a lot of times, it doesn't matter if you're a child of God, if you're a child of Satan, the battles is still going to come. But we as Christians, we as brothers and sisters in the Lord, we as a church this morning, we have something that the world does not have. Amen. We have Jesus Christ. We have Him to help us through these everyday battles. Amen. And there's probably not a one in here that if you stop and think about it, every day you run into a situation, you run into a battle every day, one way or the other. Yet, you know, that's going to happen. That's going to happen. Rick said this morning, you know, that the devil had been after him. Well, you've got something to rejoice about, Rick, if the devil is after you. Amen. And you all have. But sometimes we feel like, you know, when the devil comes at us with everything, and it seems like our life is falling apart, it seems like there's no hope in us, we ought to just stop. Amen. And we just need to stop, Brother Rick. And we need to realize that the devil, the more you do for the Lord, the bigger the battle is that Satan is going to put upon you. But the bigger battle, amen, when it's all said and done, is going to be the greater victory, amen. And we're going to grow in the Lord. We're going to grow in the Lord. If there was no battles, Rick, then there wouldn't be no victories, amen. So we wouldn't have anything to rejoice about. But I welcome, I challenge. Brother Lewis told me one time, he said, Brother Ralph, he said, you enjoy a big challenge, don't you? I said, I love a challenge, amen, because I know whatever the challenge is, when everything's said and done, and the smoke is sort of cleared, I know that who is going to be on the winning side. If I'm in the right, then it's going to be the Lord, amen. So why do we worry about it? When you know, the devil will get in our minds, amen. He'll get in our minds. That's where he works at. This is the devil's playground. That's why the Bible tells us that we need to renew our minds every day. Amen. And we are to get up every morning and start our day out before we even have a first cup of coffee or eat a biscuit and gravy. Praise God. So we are to start our days out as quick as our eyes are open. We are to start our day out giving God praise. Amen. And thanking Him because, you know, just like Brother Billy. Wife, I'm sure Brother Bill didn't know it. And I think Assistant Nitta Rose over here, Slick and Ada over here, Ada was down there yesterday and sat with her while Bill done something or went somewhere. And I called her this morning and talked to Bill, and I called Ada to tell him. He said, I haven't told him yet. And Ada said these words to me this morning, you know, and it's just like everybody is in the same boat on this. And Ada said, I knew she was awful sick, but I didn't know that she was going to pass away. You know, we do not know the day and the hour to coming. But Bill told me he fed her supper and said, didn't he give her medicine? She wanted to go to bed early. He said, I'll put her to bed. He said, I went back in there about 10:30. And he said, there she lay asleep. He said, or she had passed away from this walk of life. But she died easy. Amen. You know, I believe if you're a Christian this morning, I believe this with all my heart. Amen. That when it comes your time to go, I believe God is just going to ease you right on out of here. Amen. He's just going to move you from here to there. Amen. And we want to start a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, he said, I say rejoice. Man, he really emphasized on praising God and rejoicing. I believe we need to rejoice in God's house. Amen. I don't believe we need to come into God's house and sit around half asleep. Amen. Or be mad at our neighbor across the aisle. Or sit there talking and whipping all that. I believe when we come into God's house, I believe we need to reverend God's house. Amen. I believe we need to pay attention to what's going on in God's house. Sometimes these people come in and they leave. They didn't get out. They say, well, I didn't get nothing out of the service. No, they didn't get nothing out of the service because they didn't come to put anything in the service. If you're going to get something out of the services, and if you're going to receive anything from God, then you've got to do something, amen, to earn. I said to earn. Rejoice. And if you come in and you're obedient to God, don't doubt that God will be obedient to you. If you do what God tells you to do, I want to tell you the blessing is coming. Amen. And so we can come to church every time. I don't care if there's 10 here, and I don't care if there's 1,000 here. That's got nothing to do with the one that is here. We need to get our mind on where we're at and what we're doing. And we need to start praising God. Amen. And rejoicing in the Lord. Amen. That's pretty good preaching from an old country stump. Amen. So he said, let your moderation be known unto all men. He said, because the Lord is at hand. Now, our moderation, that you can look at that in different ways, so I'll leave that up to you. But I believe I can look at it this morning, and I thought about this, and I can sort of remember the time down at the old Bloomington schoolhouse, we're still standing down the road, when we used to gather to have church when I was a little boy. Now, them people, them our forefathers and mothers, when they went to church after a hard week's work, and most time we walked to church on an old dirt road, but when we got there, they went there for one purpose, amen, and that was to praise God.
Yeah, amen,
they went there to have church.
Come on, brother.
Amen. But in this modern day, so to speak, modern day's religion,
uh-oh,
I just don't care much for it.
Amen.
Amen. You say, well, what do you mean you don't care much for it? You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we'll get too modernized in God's house.
Yes, sir.
We will get to looking at programs to try to get people in.
Yeah, right. Come on.
Amen. But these programs only last for a season. But now, I'm still old-fashioned. I'll just tell you right now. I still believe that you've got to go further than shaking the pastor's hand.
Amen.
I still believe this morning that you're going to have to get it the old-time way. Amen.
Yeah.
I believe if you get it, you're going to get it just like I did, and a lot of old-timers got it. And that's on your knees at the foot of the cross somewhere or another. Amen. I just don't believe you're going to get it. Amen. When you go and you stir a little bit. And just because somebody else may go to altar, I believe that the Bible tells us that he loves a humble heart. Amen. And I don't believe we're too humble when we go and we come up, want the preacher to pray for us, and sit there and smile all the time and blow bubbles and pop your bubble gum. I don't believe you're going to get much out of it. You say, preacher, you didn't have to say that. I'm just being honest this morning. Amen? I'm being honest this morning. I believe you still need to humble yourself down, and be sorry for your sins that you committed. If you're not ashamed of the life you lived, then you're not going to be saved. Amen. Man, I tell you what, I didn't have a good preacher like me around when I lived. To help me and explain it to me and pray with me. I was just there. I was there and nobody else but Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, there's something about this man calling Jesus. I'm telling you that I've had people say, well, I'd like to be saved, but I don't know how. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you make that first step, you don't have to worry about nothing else. If you come with a sincere heart, see, Jesus wants people to be sincere. He wants us to be sincere. And when we come to the altar, we need to be sorry for our sins.
Yes, sir.
We need to be sorry for our sins. And if we're not sorry for our sins, then we don't need to come. Because you're just sort of making a mockery out of God. There are sincere people and there are some insincere people. I've seen people come, start crying at the back of the church and cry all the way up here. I've seen some cry, fall on their face, and I've seen them bawl like newborn calves. Hey, man, it's lost their mama. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying you got to do that. God hears you, and God sees your heart. I'm not saying you got to act like somebody else. And I've seen people go to the altar, and I've seen them beat them in the head, slap their jaw, and everything else, trying to get them saved. You don't have to do that. Hey, man. You don't have to do that. I've always said, if God puts you down, I'm going to keep my hands off from you and let God get you up when you get ready to get up. I've seen churches, I've seen people, drag people to the altar there, say a few words before they say, all right, get up, you're saved. Amen. Now, that ain't right. Amen. That ain't right this morning. If God puts you down there, then you need to leave them until God tells them to get up. I've told people I'll stay all night if that's what it takes, amen, to help them get through to the Lord. That didn't cost you nothing there this morning. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Did you get that? Let your request be. There's some people think, well, you know, I've got to be in church. I've got to have a lot of people being with me. I've got to tell everybody what my problem is. You don't have to tell nobody nothing. Hey, man, if you don't want to, the only one you need to tell is Jesus Christ this morning. Now, I tell people about my problems sometimes, but I tell them for a reason. If I'm going through a storm and I'm having a hard time getting out of it, I'm not a bit ashamed to call my brothers and sisters and say, hey, look, I'm going through a storm here, and I need some encouragement. I need some help to get out of this storm. Hey, man, because that's what brothers and sisters does. They pray for one another. The Bible tells us to pray for one another, lift one another up, hey, man. And by doing that, God will be exalted, hey, man. God loves to see His people. He likes to see love working between His people. Hey, man, He don't like to see this is sitting here, not speaking to this is sitting over here. Hey, man, God don't want that. That ain't God. That ain't God's love. Sure, we're going to have sometimes, from time to time, we're going to have some things. We're all don't think alike. We're all not made alike. And sometimes we're going to have different opinion on things, and that's the way it's supposed to be. But God's people are going to sit down together, and they're going to work this out. Hey, man, they're going to work it out, and they're going to work it out with love. Hey, man, and a lot of times, both opinions they just come right down to the bottom line, meaning the same thing. Hey, amen. But we want to make a big deal out of it. Hey, amen. But Jesus said here, if we be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Amen. Let me tell you today, friends, I can remember a time when I was lost and without God. Anybody remember the time that they were sinners? Sure, we all do, don't we? And I'd say most of you can almost tell the day and the time and the year that you received Jesus Christ in your heart. I may not remember what yesterday was, but I can remember very well what happened back in 1983 at 5 minutes after 11 o'clock at a place called Sandusky Sawmill. I met that man, Jesus. Hey, man, I hadn't talked to him for a long time. Now, I didn't say he hadn't talked to me because he had talked to me. He had dealt with me. But I'm going to tell you, I had people telling me and telling others, that's the sorriest thing ever drawed breath. He's going to die and go to hell one of these days. You know, but what they didn't know, they're still on the same path that I was on. But in 83, I met Jesus, and he changed my life. I didn't say I changed it. You don't have to change nothing. Jesus will change it for you. Amen. He'll change it for you. Amen. I don't know where you figured it out yet or not, but I love Jesus Christ. Amen. I love Jesus. John said, I love him because he first loved me. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. See, we really forget about all these blessings of God. We get our lifestyle, we get them just the way, as Ricky has taught, just the way that we want them. Yeah. Amen. Yes, and we go down through life, listen to me, we go down through life losing so much joy and so many blessings. We really do. And God's people, I have a problem with this. I'll just be honest with you. If we're Christians and we're God's people, Connie, and we profess to really be a child of God, I have a problem with these people that would rather be on the lake a pretty day like today, calling themselves a Christian, than to be in the house of God with their brothers and sisters. Amen. Anybody have a problem with that?
Amen, brother. Yes,
sir. Well, good. I'm glad you think that. Some people say, well, you know, sometimes we just need to take a day or two off and get away from everything. That ain't what I'm talking about. That ain't what I'm talking about. Everybody needs to take a little time off sometime from everything and go out and enjoy theirself. Because sometimes if we don't, if we work day and work night, I'm talking about in the church or whatever, I'm going to tell you something. Our minds will get so tired we can't think right.
Amen.
Anybody agree with me?
Amen.
We can't think right. So we need to back. And sometimes, well, and I know a lot of it. I know I do, and I know these others here at this church. I know that we've been caught up in that, and I know that we almost had a mess, amen. But I know, I said almost, but not quite. But thank God that his people woke up and realized what was happening. And now then, I'll tell you what, in about the last month, I feel something about to happen in God's house. I don't know about you, but I feel like something is happening. But they, some of you ain't started realizing it yet, amen. But when you realize it, and you jump on the boat and you want to get part of it, I'll tell you, I've had, I don't know, at the people, Brother Larry, come up to me and say, Brother Ralph, you know, we're about to explode. We're about to explode. We're about to have a breakthrough. I said, man, where have you been? This started about a month ago. Hey, man. And they begin to realize that. I'm telling you what, friends, there's something about being a child of God this morning. And so he says here, he be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Now, I don't know what time it is. I can't see that clock back there. That may be a good thing. But it said in verse 7, I want to bring this to close pretty soon. It said, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Does anybody understand that? Let me read. That's good. Boy, it hit me, and I've read this probably 1,000 times in my life. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. You know, this morning, I was sitting there last night and I was reading, Brother Mark, I was sitting there reading. And I was looking and I was been praying, God, show me what you'd want to deliver tomorrow. And I'd read here and I'd read there and I was flipping through there and I just stopped and got to reading that. And I thought, why in the world hadn't I seen that verse before as many times as I've read it? Ain't that something? Did you read something? If you preachers ever preach something, and Rick says, well, and then you get home and you get to read it and you say, well, why didn't I see that? Well, why didn't I say that? Man, that would have been the best point that I could have made. I'll tell you why you didn't see it. Because it wasn't time for God to show it to you, and it wasn't time for the people to receive it. And so that's the way it is. And it said, in the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. You know, if we have the peace of God, it doesn't matter if we don't have anything else. If we have the peace of God, we are a blessed people.
Amen.
We are a blessed people. You say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the peace of God. You know, if you've got the peace of God, what else do you need? You know, there's not a lot of peace in the world today. There's not a lot of peace. And I watch news sometimes, and I get so upset about the news today. Anywhere you turn it, there's problems going on. I've never watched the news where I hear and see so much hate. I don't see much peace going on in the world. But then I realize what Jesus said. He said, you're not going to find any peace in the world. Because the world don't have peace to offer you. Amen. So that only leaves one place that we can find peace, and that's through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen, brother.
You know, there's a lot of people today. As I say, if you've got peace, then you've got a wonderful life. If you've got peace, you've got something that you need to share it with somebody that don't have any peace and let them know how you can have it. You know, a lot of people today thinks it's silver and gold. Hey, man, and a mansion, they think if they've got all these things, that's all they need. But friend, you can live in a mansion. You can have a bank full of money more than you ever spend. But if you don't have Jesus Christ, then you don't have that peace. You don't have that peace because, let me tell you, I've seen a few people, I've seen several people, but I've seen a few people, just because they had a lot, it was just like a present to them. Amen. It was just like a present to them. They didn't want to spend none of it, and they got greedy, and they just wanted more and more and more of it. And so it became a present to them. And I've seen people that has been blessed over the years, worked for, and been blessed. And I've seen people that has got that same peace that I've got without a lot, and it's not how much you've got, amen, or what kind of house you live in. That's got nothing to do. Let me tell you, you can live in a mansion, and they can say, well, boy, that man and woman up there, they live in a mansion. They've got a beautiful home. And they not know Jesus? No, they don't have a home. A house don't make a home. Jesus makes a home this morning. Jesus makes a home this morning. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There is nothing, nor there is nobody that can give you that peace like Jesus Christ can give you. There's a man called me the other day. Used to come to church and took a place of working on the weekends for the course. Not that he had to. He just done it. Called me the other day and he said, I've got this weekend, brother. And he said, I'm going to get back in church. He said, I'm miserable. He said, everything is going on in my life and my family. He said, I'm telling you, they're driving me crazy. But he said, I've got this weekend and it's over. And he said, I'm going to be sitting on a pew at church. See, sometimes, Rick was talking this morning, it's not about what we want. It's about what God wants.
There you go.
And if we try to do something that God don't want, you're going to make a mess out of things.
Yes,
amen. If you do what God wants, you're going to be blessed in it and you're going to multiply in it. So if you want peace, I want to invite you to come to Jesus Christ this morning. You know, I think about peace, and I think about the back of ways I may have mentioned, I don't know. But you know, when the Philistines and Israel come together to do battle, there was a valley there. And there was no peace in that valley. And the reason there's no peace in that valley, because the Philistines had it and it belonged to Israel, but they was afraid to take it. But the reason they didn't take it, there was a man in that valley called Goliath of the Philistine. Everybody was scared of him. Everybody was scared of him. So there was no peace in that valley. But you know, and I thought of this when I asked Jeanette to sing a song this morning, but you know when little scrawny David, a little sheep keeper, when his older brothers, when the Israelites went out to do battle with the Philistines, he was just a little scrawny dude, kept sheep, and his daddy kept him at home. But after days, his father called him to him and said, David, go down there to the battlefield and see how your brothers are doing. Take them some food and all. So David got his little bags and he headed down to the battlefield. And when he got down there, he seen what was going on. Seen what was going on. Everybody was afraid. There was not going to be any peace in that valley as long as Goliath was in that valley. And the Bible says that David said, paraphrasing here, David said, what's the matter with you guys? Why don't you go down there and take out the problem if he's a problem? And they all were scared of him. He was a giant, mighty man. David said, well, he said, I'll go take care of your problem. Now a little scrawny boy said, I'll go take care of your problem. Oh, said, he'll kill you. He'll kill you. David said, no, I'll take care of him. And the Bible said that, oh, who was it? The king, old King Saul, took off his armor and put it on little David. The Bible said David couldn't even stand walk with all that weight of that big armor on him. And he said, get this weight off from me. Sometimes we need to get the weight off from us.
Amen.
Before we can win the battle.
Amen.
Get it off from him. And he got it off from him. David said, all right, I'm going to go down there and take care of your problem. His brothers begged him not to. Saul begged him not to. But you know, David went down. And old Goliath, he called out to Goliath, said, come on out here. Come on out here and face me. And Goliath, the Bible said, laughed at him. Laughed at little David. Said, who do you think you are, you little scrawny rot? See, if Jesus is on your side and with you, you don't have to be a giant, amen, to take care of problems. And the Bible said he come out with a sword and a spear and all that stuff. But the Bible said David went to meet Goliath in the name of the Lord. Amen. He went to take care of that problem in the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
All his brothers and all of them probably hid up there in the rocks in the hills. And them brothers said, "Oh, God, what are we going to tell Daddy? What are we going to tell Daddy? He's going to beat us to death for letting our little brother go down there and get his head cut off." When David went out, he took him some more rocks and a sling. Here come David toward him. He said, "David, you come," or here the Goliath said, "Goliath, you come to me with staffs and sword in your hand." But he said, "I come to you in the name of the Lord." And he slung at him. He throwed that rock and hit him, and the big old giant crumbled. Old David went up, took his sword out of his sheath, and cut the old giant's head off. I believe he went strutting back up that hill like it wasn't nothing. Said, "Now there's peace in that valley." Sometimes you've got to get the giant out of your life before you can have any peace. God, I could preach for 2 months right now. Janetta, come on. If you've got a giant in your life this morning that's keeping you from having the peace that God has for you, if you have, it's time to come and get rid of that giant. Time to come and get rid of that giant. As they sing his song. Stand with us this morning. Let everybody bow their head. If you're saved, you pray for someone that might not be saved. Whatever you need this morning.
I dream that I had died and gone to heaven. I stood just outside the eastern gate when a voice from within said, "Have you been born again? Is your name written in the book of life?"
Your name in the book of life.
Please
this morning.
Search the book again. I thought my name was there. I went to church on Sunday, though I never knelt in prayer. Please search the book again. It's too late now, I know. Please search the book again before you make me go. He turned and he left me standing there. I knew that it was too late then for prayer. But oh, my sinner friend, if you want to enter in, then your name must be in the book of life. Please search the book again. I thought my name was there. I went to church on Sunday, though I never knelt in prayer. Please search the book again.
Let me ask you something,
it's
people.
It's too late now, I know. Please search the
if you're here
book
and you're lost,
again before you
what
make
do you have in your possession that you're holding on to
go.
That's worth missing heaven and going to an earth burning hell? See, this choice is yours. So what do you possess this morning that's worth dying lost and out into eternity over? Think about it. And they're going to sing one more verse here, and that's going to be it, unless somebody comes. This is for you this morning.
He turned and he left me standing there. I knew that it was too late then for prayer. But oh, my sinner friend, if you want to enter in, then your name must be in the book of life. Please search the book again. I thought my name was there. I went to church on Sunday, though I never knelt in prayer. Please search the book again. It's too late now, I know. Please search the book again before you make me go.
We thank you for coming out this morning. We're going to ask you to be seated here just for a minute as we do something here. It's going to take me just a short time. So I'm going to ask Kathy and Rick and Ann and Brother Larry if they would come up here this morning. Been talking to them. They've been asking me about it. They're saved. I believe that with all my heart. And we've been talking for some time. And they've come to me and they want to join with the church this morning. And does anybody have a problem with that? Well, I sure don't either. I'm glad to have them. So I'm going to ask her at this time. Brother, will you reach me my little black book over? Thank you. Well, yeah, if you want to, Daniel.